cliffcentral.com. The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
Good morning. You're listening to The Unview with myself, Nathan Rowe. Alan Ford is gallivanting in Durban. I don't know what he's doing there. Maddie's in studio with me. Chatty Maddie, welcome.
Indeed. Is this thing working? Can you hear me?
I can't hear you, but I can hear that your voice is there.
My voice is always here, loud and clear. Loud and clear. Alan's down in Durban doing what Durban people do.
Okay, so Alan's down in Durban doing what Durban people do. So he's unemployed.
Yeah.
He's not wearing shoes.
Doing Easter vibes.
He's on the beach.
That's it.
I can't picture Alan surfing or drinking out of a coconut, actually. Is that what Durban people... I haven't been to Durban in so long.
Yeah.
It's been like 3 or 4 weeks now. I don't know how much it's changed.
So, yeah.
I mean, when I was there, they had a tidal wave that kind of washed away Durban beachfront.
Yeah.
Which is always exciting.
Highlight for Durbs. Durbsy peeps.
All right. So we have him on the line as usual because he's a helicopter parent and he can't leave us to just play and, you know, insult the arts and do things like that. He's very protective. So let's find him. I think he's somewhere here. Hello? Alan?
I'm here.
You're there.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You sound wonderful. You sound so relaxed. Almost as relaxed as when you were having a massage last week in Cape Town.
Well, you know, let me tell you something. I'm very happy that I've tried cities. So it's I did Johannesburg and Cape Town and Durban in a space of just over a week. And, you know, it just shows me how beautiful South Africa is and how different it is and how different places. You know, you go to Cape Town and they're all looking at the mountain and they are very, like, zen and, of course, they're very international. Johannesburg is, like, really lib. Hello, my brother.
How's it, my sway?
You're shuffling my bint.
Like, Itasi and Soweto in it going, like, it's Josie. And then you come to Durban, where a ront is a ront. And it's old Port Natal, and it's very, very, very British and Zulu.
I don't know, but...
where things are quite lovely. And, of course, yes, they don't wear shoes through Gateway Shopping Centre.
They don't in Cresta either, though. You know that, right?
Clearwater's worse.
They don't wear shoes in Cresta either.
It depends where you come from, I guess, in the country. It means that you should just don't wear shoes. Like good Zulus, I guess. But I've got to tell you, the coolest thing is that you have... What I love about South Africa is that you go wherever you go, it's so different. And here is like it's almost like you are in a place of coconuts and palm trees and the best part of Durban is swimming in the sea.
Have you swum yet?
It's warm.
I haven't stopped swimming and been dunked by the waves.
Are you wearing those special pants, Alan, that when they're wet, you see the bubbles come through them?
Yes, I'm wearing the Velipican bubble pants, which is great. The people think I'm mad. They think I really look like a big beach ball.
Do people call you Bubbles?
No, not yet.
Tinky-winky.
Maybe when I get back to Cape Town, they'll be pouring bubbles. Let's see how it goes.
But let's face it, you are thin and rich and fabulous, so you stay at only the best places in Cape Town and Durban.
And I got to stay there with you, Al. Just rubbing it in Nathan's face there a little, you know?
Nathan was with me the week before, Matthew, so we can rub it in both your faces.
I think Maddie's just jealous because he's seconds, but it's cool.
Look, you got to eat creme brulee. I had a 10-course meal, just saying.
I can't eat 10-course meal. I'm thin, rich, and fabulous.
Right.
So.
Matthew, how was the sloppy seconds
there? Well, who was the sloppy seconds? You?
No, you were.
Oh! Ouchles.
You were sloppy seconds.
That's terrible.
But hold on. I want to get back to you talking about like tri-coastals and bi-coastals and things that are happening here.
I think it's trans-coastal is the new one. It like used to be a coast, but now it's land. Yeah.
So coming back to this wonderful city of Durban that I'm in right now, off the topic, rude people, is to tell you that it's been phenomenal in the sea. But I've got to tell you, you know, we talk about great restaurants, and I got an email from one of our listeners about 5 or 6 weeks ago saying that you never look at Durban restaurants. And they said, you know, Durban restaurants have kind of upping the game a bit. And I was like, yeah, well, I've been to Cafe 99 like 400 times, and I think that's – and Il Maurice, those are the only good restaurants in Durban.
But the
coolest thing is that I – and Fish is also cool, correct. But I have walked just through the village of Umhlanga, and I'm so privileged to say that I think Joburg needs to up its game. Joburg actually seriously doesn't know what they're doing culinary.
Get on board, Josie.
I'm so impressed with Durban's food. I'm so impressed with the level they're going to. Just in the village of Mshlanga, I'm not even going to Jafaro Road or to Belita or to Mshloti. The food is really good, and I'm happy. You know that our food rules, guys, is that you go to a place, you eat and you pay, and then you review. And I'm very, very happy that in the next couple of months we're going to talk about some of the great restaurants in Durban. Because there's some really good restaurants in Durban.
You know what, Alan? I'm quite impressed by the fact that you've maintained your good pronunciation of your I's. You haven't resorted to the Durban R, you know, where you kind of eating your fish and your chips
with some cuds.
Fish and
with
chips,
some cuds. Okay. Why are you with cuds, Alan? We've got some cuds in studio.
We've got lots
today.
Of cuds here today.
Well, I know it's going to be such a divine day in studio, and of course we're promoting great young talent and
child labor, as Gareth called it.
Child labor, yes. But you know, the cool thing is that if you think about something, the people that we see across the world on the stages that are getting these Tony Awards and these Naledi Awards and these phenomenal awards across the entertainment industry have to start somewhere. And that is the critical thing, is that they start generally in community theater, children's theatre, school theatre, and school theatre is the biggest way to start cultivating the talent.
Yeah.
And I think that is what today's show is about, and that is why it's cool, and this is why we're fabulous, because this is what we do.
The interesting thing is about, we were just saying, that the typical theatre child, they may be thin, they may be fabulous, but they're never going to be rich.
Well, it depends. You know. It does depend.
It does depend. Some people are born into money.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I mean, some become phenomenal. You know, there's lots of ways to skin a cat, I guess. But, again, your talent is your richness, don't you think?
Totally.
I mean, your talent
and your heart is rich.
I know. We're going to sing a song. What's the song prepared for today, Nathan? What have you got for me?
You know what? I didn't bring the ukulele because I figured, once again, you were not here to force me to play it. So I was like, well,
he's going to beatbox for us.
I don't feel obliged. No, we have so much talent in studio. I think people want a break from me. They're going to sing for us. Don't worry. And it's early in the morning still.
I've got to just say a couple of things. I think we had a great Easter period across the country. I think a lot of people had fun. People are on holiday. I think that even though South Africa hasn't perhaps been in the best state politically, the sun is shining. There's been a little bit of rain in Cape Town, a little bit, but hey, at least it's coming.
Pesach was also great.
Exactly, the fasting went well. Muslim brothers and sisters had good Eid. I think we just had a good period. And I'm so excited because I'm in Durban for a reason, because I'm leaving tomorrow to go off to the Natal Midlands.
Oh.
Now, you've heard of my big fat Greek wedding.
Totally.
This is my big fat Lebanese wedding, because my cousin's Lebanese.
Sure.
But he's marrying a Greek, so it's my big fat Lebanese.
Oh, so there's going to be lamb.
Can you imagine? It is going to be insanity.
Amazing.
It is going to be 400 people in those poor KwaZulu-Natalians in the Midlands are not going to know what hit them. It's like the rumble in the jungle came through. Okay, literally.
Please tell the Lebanese people not to hit the locals.
No, I will tell them not. No abuse, please. No, we have become educated. We're not so Neanderthalic.
Oh, so it's not like the 90s.
No, that's changed.
When someone said they were Leb, it was L-E-B. It was basically like EFC of their day. It was like...
Point duly noted, but no, things have changed. And most importantly is that, remember that we're with the Greeks, so it's going to be so much fun. We have lots of lamb. We're going to break plates. There's going to be singing and dancing. It's going to be crazy, and it's really going to be blessed. So that's why I'm here, is that the extension of Matt's and our trip to Cape Town meant a family trip to Durban, which meant a wedding in the Midlands, then back to Johannesburg and back to Cape Town. And I can just tell you, the sun is shining across this beautiful country of ours, and I'm proud. I love it. And I'm very happy. And that is just my thought of the day.
Well, that is an amazing thought, Al. I hope everyone listening has the same thought. It really is a beautiful country. Let's take care of it.
Absolutely.
On a little closing note, I'm suffering from a small bit of FOMO, as you know. I do, it happens.
Why?
But I feel the two of you are having an affair now.
That's all right.
That I'm out of the picture.
Nathan's actually holding my hand under the table as we speak.
Matthew...
I've actually grown my beard to try and, you know, show you guys how manly and hetero I am.
Oh.
But I only can grow an Abraham Lincoln beard, so I don't know if it's sending mixed messages.
The interesting thing is that when I look at your beard, it's very, very, very patchy and scratchy. You know that.
Are you speaking about Nathan or me? Nathan.
No, man, I'm talking about both of you actually got a bit.
Well, mine's not itchy. I can tell you that.
I mean, it's just weird.
Maddie's scratching though, so I think you're talking about him.
Shane, these poor people have got the itchy and scratchy show in the studio. That's where the one goes. you little Simpsons. Watch my son say. On that note, I'm going to love and leave you. Yes. Have a fantastic show, guys. And of course, before we say the famous line about the undo, remember, Nathan, if you think about cheating on Matthew, with me on Matthew, just make it very clear. I've got you on the 30th of April in Cape Town again.
Doing what?
You and I are back.
Doing what?
No, we. What do you think we're gonna reignite the flame?
Well, I've asked for my own room, which has already put a bit of a cock block there for you, I'm afraid.
I know you love to cuddle in the middle of the night and go back, so we can pretend that's all happening. I mean, have slept. I've slept with Matty and I've slept with you. Nothing's ever happened. Yeah,
for the children in the studio, we once had to share a room, and that's as far as it went.
Yes, that's what I meant. We slept next to each other because we are like roomies.
Yeah, I'm just explaining to the children who maybe don't know.
King size bed, just saying.
You know, sometimes.
Yes, that's what you have to do on the road. That's what happens. I forgot we have a kiddie show today.
Yeah, it's so stressful trying to think. You know, how do you explain this to kids? It's like, look, when a man loves another man.
When a man loves
another man, mm-hmm. And they want to be so close to each. No, I don't know. All right, we'll skip that one.
So anyway, guys, I'm going to say the following. Of course, we've got a great week. Good week in entertainment, good week in food. We're back next week to talk about some of the magical things on Freedom Day. And as we say, welcome to the Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. Have a good one, boys.
Cheers, Al. Ciao. Thank you so much, Alan Ford from Durban, reporting on our country's weather and how high quality the massage parlors are, because I'm guessing he's in one. All right.
Always.
So, Maddie.
Always. Nathie, it's good to be in studio with you, man.
It is, man.
This is a first for us. I feel and like we're breaking like our studio tea.
I don't know what that is.
Kind of.
But I just feel like there's something that was between us that is no longer between us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a.
I'm calling it a mixing desk.
A Lebanese gentleman, perhaps, right. Even. Yeah. So it's actually really cool just to chat to you.
And you too.
Yeah, and I see Alan Ford already went over time with his...
That's all right.
...his little phone call.
That's all right.
Do we still have enough time to speak to our plethora of amazing guests?
We absolutely do. And you know what? It's a performance show today. We kind of really... We're favoring the arts. We are a little biased in the studio today, and we're favoring everything theatrical. And on that note, I just thought I'd give you a bit of a wrap-up as to kind of what's going on in the theatre scene at the moment. You had the privilege, with Alan, to have seen Priscilla.
I did.
Cock on a Frock on a Rock, right?
I don't know. Did I miss? Is that a famous line?
It's totally a famous line from the show. You got to say it with a bit of a... Well, that's not the best accent. The best accent.
Oh, right. Oh, because you didn't do it with the accent. Yeah, you have to sound accent. Like a master chef.
Yeah.
You
know, right. So, I went to... it was good old Alan's round two of Priscilla, my round one, and it was absolutely fantastic. And for the Cape Townians listening, that kind of wraps up in the next week or two, as far as I'm aware, and then it makes its way to Josie, to the Teatro. And seriously, Josie peeps, the challenge is on. Cape Town was dressing up. I don't know if they were when you were there.
Yeah, it was media night, so the media put on their best media outfits. You know, like media outfits are different to like rich people outfits.
Right.
Like, I mean, when the media dresses up, it's like a borrowed old matric dance dress from someone else. You know, so they still look lovely, but look, more in a charming way, like a quaint way.
I'm talking about people driving through from Paul and Tigerberg and men in frocks.
Oh, wow.
It was quite interesting.
Right. Okay.
It was quite interesting.
That sounds fantastic.
And if you don't go for the show, go for that. You
go for the costumes, I must say. Yeah, the costumes in the show and and in the audience are actually amazing. Yeah,
spectacular. And then on kind of nearer kind of circles, we've got Sophia Town at the Market Theatre, which is a rehash of last year's production, which did so well that they decided to bring it back.
Brilliant.
A beautiful piece with many Brechtian elements. I'm chatting about Brecht in a sec, but I thought I'd just swing that little word in. It's a very fancy word for very kind of high art theatre in a way, in terms of what's going on in the mind.
It's not like a Lebanese diss. It's not like...
No.
No. Ugh, oh, Brecht.
No, but
I can't believe you did that.
Brecht. So, and that's running on at the Market Theatre. The Play That Goes Wrong. Have you seen it?
I haven't.
Oh, my goodness. Play That Goes Wrong on at Peter Turin's Monte Cassino Theatre. I think that ends on the 30th, the 30th of this month.
Okay,
so
I'll try to check it out.
You've got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Anything that you can imagine going wrong on stage happens. The sets fall. The lights fail. There is the wrong prop in the wrong place. Alan Committee's directed it.
Brilliant.
And if you're a fan of Alan, stand up. Imagine Alan playing the equivalent of 6 characters at the same time.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah. I saw him in... Feed Me, Seymour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
I've Given You Sunshine.
Yeah, Little Shop of Horrors. That's the name of it. Yeah.
So, absolutely brilliant. And then the one that I want to really chat about, and we've got a guest in our studio who I'm going to introduce to you shortly, is the Caucasian Chalk Circle. And you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. It is a set work. It is aimed, it's primarily aimed at school-going kids. But one thing that struck me in watching this piece is the kind of the relevance of a piece that was written so many years ago. I'm not going to go into the detail about that.
Well, of course, it's still relevant. I mean, you have goat farmers and fruit farmers fighting now in Zimbabwe.
There we go.
Because apparently they're making goats a, form of money.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
And I think the fruit guys are upset. So, yeah. I mean, it's actually a perfect... I think they should take the plate to Zimbabwe next.
Yeah. And, I sat in the audience last night. It's a little sad. There were about 10 people there, which you kind of... it's cringeworthy when you were theatrical... baby, and you sit in this audience and you're watching a cast of the same size, and they are giving their all. It's an absolute marathon of a piece. It's not called epic theater for no reason, but an outstanding piece. And in studio to talk to us about Caucasian Chalk Circle is Nika Da Costa. Morning, Neeks.
Good morning.
Talk to us about the show. What's happening?
Well, it is a marathon of a show. It is basically, it starts off talking about land issues, which are all kind of familiar with, and then the farmers who are arguing over the land decide that to illustrate their point they're going to put on a play. So it's a play within a play. And
the audience is completely made aware of that from the get-go.
And do you get paid double because you're doing two plays, essentially?
I want to say yes, because I'm also playing 3 characters.
Oh, wow. So you should get playing double and then triple on... Wow, that's
exactly.
A good paycheck. Yeah?
Exactly.
Worked and out like that.
I mean, because there's something like 100 characters in Brecht's show.
Wow.
So there's, I think there's 8 of us. And so we kind of share all of these.
So who's doing the other kind of 87 roles? That's a lot of running around and costume changes.
I think sort of, yeah, exactly. And what's great about it is that the costume changes are all in view of the audience, because that was Brecht's big thing, is that audience members should know that it's theatre and they should see how it works.
Yeah, so, and that also emerged later into strip clubs and things.
Well, yes, I suppose
people
you could make connections between the two.
Yeah, people are like, just skip the play, do the costume change.
Yeah, exactly. And we're quite good at that. Actually, but yeah, it's really fun, and there's a lot of comedy in it, and the story is kind of based on a biblical one, I believe, about a mother or child who has two mothers, one who's biologically the mother, but the biological mother abandons the kid.
You play that woman.
I do.
You're
play
such
that
a wench.
Woman. Yes. No, it's a horrible, horrible woman, but she's so much fun to play, because what happens is she's more interested in taking her clothes. Yeah, she's interested in taking her clothes with her in a time of crisis, and she leaves her child behind.
Nice.
And then her kitchen maid takes care of the child. So,
you know, my mom used to leave me behind at school. When I was still at Park Town Boys, I remember being left at the hockey Astro until about 9 o'clock.
But you had servants to look after you.
No. I didn't. Well, if my matrix were my servants. As a little grade 8 boy ditched at a hockey field at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, my mom left me in a parking lot once.
Yeah.
Did you have a hockey stick at least?
I did not.
Oh,
I was
wow.
unarmed.
So you were more
vulnerable.
More vulnerable than Maddie was as a child.
It was
See,
horrible.
Maddie, stop complaining. Could have been worse. You could have not been a hockey player.
the thing is, I wasn't a hockey player.
So what were you doing with that poor kid's hockey stick? Damn it, Manny, stop robbing the hockey kids.
They were the only people around. I'd come from choir practice.
Did I just assume you had a hockey stick?
No. Sure, you know what they say about assumption. Yeah, anyway.
You don't want to be a choir boy in a parking lot
with a hockey stick.
It wasn't a Catholic school. But anyway, let's... so you were saying...
So basically it's this tackle between the biological mom and then in the end the mother who raises the child, and we get to see who wins. Mm. The court case, essentially, and it's about the land as well. So who gets to keep the land? Who gets to keep the child?
Right.
And it's asking some pretty cool questions, but in a really comic, I think you could say that.
Absolutely.
Really comic.
Yeah, you mentioned the Bible story it's based on. It's when someone brings King Solomon, two people bring a child to King Solomon. They say, we're both the parents. And then he's like, okay, well, I'll cut the baby in half. And then you can share him. And then and one of them was like, no, I'd rather the baby lived. And they're like, okay, well, you're the better parent. So, I mean, yeah, it's quite relevant, I think, today as well, just in people's priorities, people have messed up priorities. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And Nix, talk to us, because it's quite interesting. The whole prologue of the show, so for those of you who are not theatrical buffs, the prologue is something that happens pre us watching the actual story.
Yeah.
You've kind of adapted a bit. Yeah.
It's the pre-play. The play is in.
Correct.
Wow, there's a lot of
It's just
pre's.
Context, I suppose.
Yeah, hey? it frames the story.
Okay.
Something that struck me as quite interesting is you've taken Brack's work, and we chatted briefly last night, and you said, you've given it this EFFDA slant.
Well, the director wanted to hint at it because he didn't want to set the play in any particular place.
Yeah.
He said, let's just imagine that. Yeah, let's just imagine that it's somewhere in the southern Africa, somewhere.
Right.
But we, as a cast, we were all very struck by how poignant it was in terms of the political stuff that was going on. We opened the show on the day of the political reshuffle.
Wow.
So we were like, okay, cool. Let's bring out the politics. Yeah. And so there is a vague suggestion that the one side is from the DA fighting over the land and the other side is the EFF. And in the middle, you've got an ANC representative. But I think the director would sort of say that I'm in trouble if I make such kind of...
It's broad.
Yes.
Sweeping political statement.
Basically, so you have to come and make your own choices, but that's how we've kind of contextualized it to make it relevant, particularly for South African students.
Yeah.
At this point,
and what has the response been? Are they getting it?
They are getting it, particularly if they've got to read it as a set work. A lot of them have been saying, "Oh, wow, okay, it's now I can see how this is working," because it's quite hard to put from to just imagine how it would be from the page. So what's been the most interesting thing is Brecht was always the kind of guy who was like, I don't want emotions involved. I don't want emotions in theatre. People mustn't get too emotional, because if they get too emotional, they get into the story, they don't think, and they don't do anything about it afterwards.
Yeah.
And so what the kids have been saying is like, oh, can we separate our emotions from this story? I mean, we see that it's really intellectual, but actually, no, we kind of get emotionally involved at the same time as knowing what we're doing and seeing. So
my best last night, there were audience members, and I think they were students, sitting about four rows in front of me, and they were like, now what you gonna do, Grusha? A girlfriend? What's your choice?
Why are you leaving the child? Do this, do that. And that's actually cool. We've had a lot of responses like that from audiences. People literally telling us that we're doing something wrong or we're doing something right, and that we should carry on or we should stop. And in kind of usual theater situations, you don't get that kind of interaction at all.
Unless you're watching a pantomime.
Yeah.
Panty line.
Pantomime.
Yes, pantomime.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, slip.
Mm.
Right.
So, and it's been cool to have audiences so involved with us.
I've got a question, because moving from straight theatre, by straight theatre, I don't mean theatre of the heterosexual kind.
Yes.
I mean theatre that is like just words, right?
Right.
You got me there.
Yes.
So moving from straight theatre, in inverted commas, we're going to be chatting a bit about musicals just now.
Mm.
But the one question that I have for you is this play a musical?
Yeah, kind of. I think in London they would call it a play with music.
Yes.
Because it's got... Brecht was big with music, and he writes lyrics into his plays as kind of a commentary, like a
was
social
Was it kind
commentary.
Of emotionless music? Like,
how do you have emotionless music?
Well,
here
like
is
a
the
Rihanna
question.
Song.
Well, I mean, now that you're saying that, what we've done is we've taken contemporary tunes to put behind these lyrics.
Mm.
So Brecht gives you a score, but it's kind of...
It's quite atonal, actually.
Yeah, it's atonal and a bit outdated.
I mean,
he
was good old Mac the Knife. You know that?
Oh, wow.
Oh, that shark, babe. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was him. Okay. From the Thrapani Opera.
Yeah.
I think
Thrapani Opera.
The three
Try to say that 10 times.
Exactly. Thrapani Opera. Thrapani Opera. So basically, we've taken the director chose to take contemporary tunes that everyone will relate to and kind of put them behind the lyrics. So that's fun. Yes. So we do sing.
Okay.
But
it was such a funny moment, because I'm watching at the end, and we've got a little lady in our studio, Taylor, who I'll introduce you tonight, or just to today, later on today, who was in Fame. And there's this moment where they go, remember, remember, remember. And I was like, what the freak? I'm watching Breath and I'm listening to Fame.
It was, you know, crazy.
Irene Cara in front of me.
It was crazy. I was in Fame at school, and when we were rehearsing that, I was like, you do know that a lot of kids are going to be like, oh, okay, it's Fame. No, it's not. Wow. But yeah, lots of fun.
Nika, give us some details. Where can we see it? When is it running until?
So you're just catching the end of it, which is great because we're all excited to be performing until Sunday. So Sunday's the last time. What is today?
Today is Thursday.
So there's a show tonight, and then there's two shows tomorrow, which is Friday. So there's a morning show and there's an evening show. Then Saturday in the evening, and Sunday is the last one in the afternoon, and it's at the Joburg Theatre Fringe.
Okay, and where can people get tickets?
They can get tickets at the theatre, or they can get tickets at webtickets.com.
Amazing.
Yeah, and if you're a student, you can also bring your student card to them, and they will give you a discount.
And on a kind of looking forward in terms of Nika. What's in the pipelines for Neeks?
Sure, Nika is working on a couple of projects. I think the next one I'll be doing is I'll be directing a kind of performance art piece to do with water and like water issues in the country. So I think that's the next one.
Awesome.
But otherwise just trying to relax a bit. Oh, and I'm going to graduate next week. I'm going to London. I'm going to graduate.
What are you getting?
I'm getting an MA in text and performance.
And one of those square hats.
And one of the square, which I had to hire at great expense.
In pounds.
I could have made you one out of a cereal box, I'm almost certain.
Yeah.
Just like a square piece of cardboard with some black fabric over it.
Yep, basically. Yeah. But they won't let you have other pieces of cardboard. They have to have their piece of cardboard.
Oh, like a qualified piece of cardboard.
A qualified one. Yeah, a makes British sense. One.
So now we're going to call you Manika.
Manika. I'm happy with that. Manika. Thank you. Not that one.
Okay.
But close. So that's me. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Nika. Cool. That sounds amazing. I mean, it must be a hard show to promote unless you're kind of promoting it to like depressed people. It's like, hey, do you want to come feel nothing?
That sounds like I've undersold it. It's a really
I'm just joking really, with the Brechtian really techniques piece. There. Yeah, you actually will feel something, which is, it's confusing because they don't want
hilarious.
You to, but you will.
If nothing else, it's hilarious.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I think we need to get some of
these kiddies.
Other kiddies on the mics. Yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah. So whilst we do a reshuffle, we're going to play a little bit of music to set the scene.
Like, Palais is not here, so I'm just guessing. I'm going to push this and see what it does.
Is it going?
Is it doing something? Is this the right...
I don't have ear.
Oh, you can't hear. It's going. It sounds amazing. Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what this is.
I don't know. It sounds like a school bell ringing.
We're shuffling.
Yeah, let's get the school kids.
Alright.
Why you better come on down and meet the nicest kids in town. to lead the way. And once a month we have our Negro Day.
Alrighty.
And we're back.
And what you heard right there was the nicest kids in town. And we really do, I think, have the nicest kids in the studio at the moment. Welcome, guys. Welcome. We've got the cast of Hairspray from Red Hill School.
Hello.
And the cast of In the Heights from Hyde Park High.
Hi.
What's happening, guys?
Hi, hello.
You're live. Hey. This is a conversation.
Well, let's start from the left and go around the room. Okay, so we have Tallulah.
Yes, Tallulah.
Tallulah.com.
Yes. Where are you from, Tallulah?
I'm from Joburg.
Okay. Yep. And you are doing
Hairspray. Yes,
okay.
Hairspray.
What role are you playing?
I play one of the Dynamos.
The Dynamos.
Is it Dynamite or Dynamos? I've been getting it wrong the whole time.
The Diamondettes.
Dynamos.
I don't think it's Diamondettes, no.
Okay, well, I like the sound of that. Okay, and then we have...
I'm Taylor, and I'm playing Tracy Turnblad.
And you are the most excited person I think I've ever met. It's like,
thank you. I get that a lot.
No, well, yeah,
it's
you were
surprising.
Just you were just very excited. I got excited seeing your excitement, and I didn't know about what. I'm like, I have nothing to really live for.
Thank you.
But
actually,
I feel quite
awesome.
Good about myself. And then we have.
And then we have Bussy. I play Vanessa in the Heights.
Okay.
Are you playing Vanessa in the Heights, or are you playing Vanessa in the Heights?
I play Vanessa in the Heights.
Right.
So that's also a little Brechtian thing.
Yeah,
play within a play.
Right.
In the Heights. Yeah. Okay. And so that's a nice link there. So we went from Tina Turnblad from.
Yeah, exactly. Tracy Turnblad.
From Hairspray to a hairdresser in the Heights. Okay. Then we got Linda. Linda, tell us about you.
Hi, my name is Linda. I play Usnavi on In the Heights.
Is that a Russian gangster name? Sorry, I haven't seen the play, so I just see the name Usnavi.
Yeah, but you know what?
You know you should really take him to Usnavi.
You know, in Ostrovian.
He's going to put some lead in his head.
Vodka.
Usnavi.
Usnavi, yes.
But you're the responsible one in the play. Yeah?
No.
Completely irresponsible.
Yes.
Have you got side chicks?
No.
Oh, okay, not that kind of irresponsible.
I struggle with the ladies, actually.
Is that Linda or is Usnavi?
Usnavi. Ah, Linda. Linda gets girls. You don't know. Yo. Too much.
So now, Usnavi, the interesting thing about Usnavi is that his name comes from the U.S. Navy.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's not quite.
So it's definitely not Usnavi. Unless Usnavi is maybe in waters in perhaps they should not be in.
Perhaps
pointing nuclear warheads at country they do not want to be pointing nuclear warheads at.
Oh, wow.
You know?
We're cutting a little close to the bone there.
North Korea, yes. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah. I mean, they do have that wall that they're speaking about with Donald
Yes,
Trump.
But that's the Mexicans. That's
yes,
a completely
but that's
different.
Exactly what In the Heights goes on about. So the character of Usnavi, basically they come from the Dominican Republic and they move over to New Yerba York where they seek to find better lifestyle. And basically what happens is that his parents see a ship with the U.S. Navy and they pronounce it Usnavi.
That is awesome. Okay, and who was that lovely
voice?
So this
gorgeous apparition in front of me is Danielle Bentel, and she is the producer and co-director of In the Heights at Hyde Park High.
Thank you for having me in studio.
So that's how you know all that. Because
that's
I was like,
I
wow, this stranger is just very well versed in theatre.
She totally
well,
is,
I
right?
am, actually.
Yeah, well, I've just learned that.
You know what, I want to ask an interesting question here. You chose a piece that most South Africans have never heard of, okay? You chose In the Heights. Give us some insights. I mean, most schools are going for fame. They're going for Hairspray. They're going for Grease, you know. And here, Hyde Park High, you know, a modest government school in the suburbs of the not-so-modest Hyde Park, comes along with a piece of theatre which no one has heard of, you know, relatively speaking, no one's heard about in SA. What was going on there?
Well, I mean, okay, let's give your listeners a bit of a background. So, I mean, Matthew and I go chatty Matty, and I go way back in terms of our friendship and within theatre. Matthew actually introduced me to In the Heights and Hyde Park High School. Anna, you're so fabulous.
I see. He didn't want to say it himself. That's why he kind of asked you to answer that question.
It's the art of modesty, people. You get somebody else to do it for you.
Well, the show is all about the art.
I sing praises that are due. But basically, Matthew introduced me to In the Heights. It is Hyde Park High School's 60th anniversary, celebrating co-ed education, of course, in excellence. And we just decided, well, I mean, what better way to celebrate 60 years of excellence by premiering a show that's never been done in South Africa? It also, I think, caters towards my kids. I call them kids. They're actually not kids. They're young adults. But I think it caters towards their passion. It's the hip-hop. It's the street cred. Just the vibe that New York in the Bronx, in the Heights, essentially, actually has a little bit of salsa, a little bit of R&B, a little bit of hip hop.
It's a bit of a smarty box show in the sense that you've got all these styles which literally collide. This kind of cacophony of sound and color that really collide in this kind of explosion of what is the Washington Heights. And what kind of struck me about the piece was the fact that it is so unapologetically Hispanic.
Absolutely.
How have you managed to? I'm going to divert attention quickly from you to your cast members. Linz, Busi, you're having to deal with Spanish. I mean, getting your mouth around a mother tongue for starters is one thing. I mean, Afrikaans class, you know what I mean? And now all of a sudden, ole, qué pasa? You know, you've got to start. No me diga. You got to start whipping out the Spanish. How's that been for you guys?
It's been challenging actually, especially the songs. There's like some words that are like, what am I saying?
Yeah. Do you know what you're saying? Or you
I
just blindly...
No, I do. No, no me diga. I know what I'm saying. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Right.
I know exactly what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, this thing of learning Spanish, like, hey, I only know English, honestly, because I'm not from South Africa, so, like, I have to learn Ndebele and, like, some other languages just to, like, talk with people sometimes. And then you have to learn, not really learn the language itself, but, like, learn the pronunciation of the words and stuff. And yeah, it's pretty challenging for me.
Mm. Okay. And this show is notorious for its incredible kind of dance language. It has magnificent choreographic routines. It is a show that is music from curtain up to curtain down.
Absolutely.
It really is. And how's that been for you guys?
Well, look, I've been very grateful for the fact that I have the fantastic Stefania Dutoy as my lead choreographer and co-director with me. So Steph has brought incredible oomph and a fresh perspective to the show. Assistant choreographer Lesejo Ramachlare.
Sure.
I've been practicing. Has also brought a lot with it. Lesejo comes from Soweto. So she kind of relates to my kids on that level. So we've kind of come together in terms of all of that.
Have you guys given it an African edge? I know it's always something that I despise, the question. Are you making it South African?
No.
Sorry, Caucasian chalk circle.
Well, it's just because there's not like a huge Spanish population, yeah. I guess, in South Africa. So yeah. It's kind of hard to, okay, we're going to change.
Yeah.
Hasta la huega's character there to Gogo, you know.
Look, I'm going to blow your horn here for a second, Maddie.
Please don't.
get your mind off.
Yeah, Alan is going to be jealous.
but... and the radial kids only clicking
now. And then
now.
It landed. Yeah.
I think both of us pride ourselves specifically on the fact that neither Red Hill nor Hyde Park produce the General R Suite that was a nice school show.
Mm.
Our show's bars are risen to a professional level where our kids are treated as professionals from the minute they walk into an audition process to the minute they actually walk off stage. And God help them should they step out of line in terms of that, because that is what we expect from them. That is what they are able to bring. And it's our jobs as educators to get them to raise the bar. At the end of the day, these are the kids that are going to be carrying the arts into the future.
Yeah.
So no, we are not doing an adaptation.
Okay.
We are doing the original. Yes, we might have a few accent challenges. Yeah. Camo, in particular.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, it's pretty much in the Heights all the way.
Maddie told me a really interesting story about how this was put on in the UK. They took over a platform at King's Cross Station and literally put the play there with trains going on in the background. So authentically, are you doing it at the Gautrain station?
Listen, anything's possible. If you would like us to take over the Gautrain station, I'm sure we could arrange that.
I think you should. I think they should build a station in Hyde
right
Park,
through
actually.
Hyde Park.
I would love that.
I'm sure my principal would love that too.
But now listen, the talent is sitting alongside you, Duns. And I'm gonna put Linda on the spot here. It has such an iconic opening. Most musicals begin with a huge production number, and it's kind of blasty right from the beginning. This one starts quite humbly, and it just starts off with a very, very simple. I don't know what you call those. Are they called blocks? At the moment, it sounds like a kick
song. I have
song.
To say, I'm sure there's another name for it. But
blocks. Okay, those things.
Let's go with
so
blocks.
So we'll go with the block. But Linda, give us a couple of lines of your opening there for us.
Okay.
And you're welcome to Hoy in the actions too. Yeah. Speak right into that mic, buddy.
Lights up on Washington Heights, up at the break of day. I wake up and I got these little punks I gotta chase away. Pop the grate at the crack of dawn, sing while I wipe down the awning. Hey y'all, good morning.
Ice cold piragua. All right, nice one, nice one. Guys, this production is going to be absolutely spectacular. Duns, it's at Hyde Park. When is it showing? How do we get tickets?
So we open on the 3rd of May,
yeah.
Where we run until the 6th of May.
Amazing.
So quite a short run, but powerful nonetheless. And tickets are available through the school on 011-447-2281 or available via email as well at info@hydepark.gp.school.za.
Amazing. Get your tickets, guys. It's going to be absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, this ain't no high school show.
Hashtag.
Yo. Okay. Hashtag. I feel like you're going to do like a cheer.
Oh, no.
And then
no.
Red Hill's going to have to do a cheer. And then we're going to have to like.
We'll have a cheer off.
Yeah. We're going to have to see which school is better. Ooh,
Well, segueing from one school to the next, I've got in the studio with me some of the fabulous cast members of Hairspray, and they hail from Red Hill, just over the hill, Red Hill School in Morningside.
What?
Yeah. And Tallulah has introduced herself, as has our Tracy Turnblad, Taylor Alexander. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah. It's such a pleasure. Such a pleasure. Hairspray, how's it been?
Oh,
talk to us. Tallulah.
Literally no words. Like, it has been probably one of the best experiences throughout my high school career so far. It's been fun, and I've learned what I can do and what I can't do, and met so many, well, not met people, but just gotten to know people like in my school that I haven't spoken to before. It's just been fun, hey?
I suppose what you can't do, you've realized you actually can do, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, amazing.
A few dance steps, I might have fallen on my face, but that's okay.
And how are those heels working for you?
Oh,
just to put
word.
You in the picture, yeah, these kids have had to get into serious kind of T-bar heels.
Yeah.
And for most of them, I mean, you coming from Converse.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
heels, and all of a sudden having to, you know, mince
yeah,
across the
exactly.
stage.
It's not like my character's particularly mellow either. Like, the Dynamites are quite like sassy, so to be in heels and to be sassy, I mean, it's quite a workout actually.
Yeah. And then sitting alongside the gorgeous Tallulah, we have our radiant Tracy Turnblad.
Hello.
Taylor, this role was almost written for you. John Waters, yeah. when he wrote the show, He was going, Taylor Alexander, this is for you. Talk to us.
Yeah.
How's it been playing Tracy?
Thank you. I can't even describe it. Like, I walked into the first rehearsal and I was like, I can't believe that this is actually happening. You know, it's like a dream come true for me. And the other day I was actually crying because I was like, in 2 weeks, it's all going to be over. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was like, what am I going to do after this play? And my mom was like, Tay, you know, even though the show will be over, the memories and the bonds that you make will never, ever fade.
Wise words from mom.
Shout out.
You must be really close to your cast, because I did a play in high school and I can't remember anyone. But I don't think I was as involved. I also was like a tree or something. So I don't think I had that kind of relationship as you have with the
I can't even describe it. It's a family. And I know, like, last year it was the Fame Fam, but now it's a different family. And it's not
the
that...
family.
The family.
That's cute.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you, so In the Heights is obviously quite a political play, and Hairspray also has an element of that. Although it's fun and you kind of painted it with that broad brush of Grease and, you know,
yeah.
rich white school.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, whatever. Hairspray does have, like, quite an awesome message.
Totally.
Like, how are you guys finding that? Has it, like, changed your lives?
Yeah, I think it's cool. Honestly, I think, it, like you said, you know, it's got such a powerful message. And I think within the context of a high school, I think it'll be really cool to show that to the rest of the school and to all the teachers, as well as, like, all the talent. Honestly, the thing that just blew me away the most is there's so many people that I've never heard sing or, like, do a little jazz step. And then everyone's just coming out of their shells. It's incredible. Like, I'm blown away.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when the lights go on.
Yeah, like, you don't really have a choice.
That's how I feel. You know, yeah.
I don't know what happens when the lights go on, man.
I coin my jazz hands. You know, yeah.
You have to ask Alistair from Slipbeam what happens when the lights go on, Matthew.
But now, Tate, about the message that Nate was referring to over here. You know, we've got this piece which is undoubtedly exciting and colorful and vibrant and so shiny and glitzy, and it's just upbeat. But under those songs lies a real story of a struggle which I think we still are living, that we can relate to. How has that kind of been worked into your experience, into your kind of performance?
Well, especially with my character of Tracy, she always sees the good in everything. Like, and especially looking at Good Morning Baltimore, it's honestly, the way she describes it, like with rats running around the streets and flashes and everything, she puts so much energy and so much happiness to it that it almost makes art like it's the best place on earth, when in all honesty, it really isn't. You know, and during that time, it was so much hardships. But instead of, like, just sitting around doing nothing about it and complaining, as a lot of people did, she went and she tried to make a change. And I think that that's important. And that's a message that can go out to everyone.
Don't you think it's sad that the kind of themes are still relevant?
Totally.
Like, yeah. I can't wait for the day people put on Hairspray and they're like, I don't really get it.
Yeah.
Like, why? What's going on there?
Yeah. You know?
but I think it's still amazing that people will leave that play thinking about it and, you know, stuff like that. It's cool.
You know what? She mentioned Good Morning Baltimore. And, you know, I think as a part of our cast off here, we had a little bit from Washington Heights. And I think it would be only fitting to get our Tracy to hit the mic with a bit of her rendition of Good Morning Baltimore.
Well, I'd love to.
All right. Let's
may I stand?
Yeah.
Can you hear in those headphones?
No, I actually can't.
Well, that's exciting. Oh, you have to plug them in.
Oh, you see, technology. I don't even know how to update my phone. Never mind work all this.
Dory, just take Maddie's there.
Okay. Oh.
All right. And now I'm just going to get this little piece that I've prepared ready.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Taylor Alexander from Red Hill High School.
All right, let's hit this.
Oh, wait, it's gone off.
Okay, is it gone off? Can you not hear? Can you hear me?
Now it's on. It's on.
All right.
Today, feeling the way I always do. Oh, 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 hungry for something that I can't eat. Then I hear that beat, that rhythm of town starts calling me down. It's like a message from high above. Oh, 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 pulling me out to the smells and the streets that I love. Good morning, Baltimore. Every day's like an open door. Every night is a fantasy. Every sound's like a symphony. Good morning, Baltimore. And someday when I take to the floor, the world's gonna wake up and see Baltimore and me.
Woo! Oh, I would have done better.
That was it. It was amazing. Well done.
Thank you.
How did you find finding that accent? Was that Is that easy for you?
Yeah, I must say, I love accents. I'm not that great at them, but with Tracy's, it just came. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it was awesome. I love the nasal American.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's so great.
She's almost like a bit of a Fran Drescher.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the nanny?
Yes,
do.
I do.
Guys know the nanny?
No.
What's the nanny?
Moving on.
I think it came out like 6-7 years just before they were born.
Yeah. And then, yeah. When were you guys born? How old are you?
Like 2001.
Like, I was born in 2000.
I mean, I'm basically 16, but
so you don't even know what Y2K is. Agree.
No, what is that?
Y2K, it was in the year 2000. Everyone was in absolute panic. People were stocking up with baked cans of baked beans and tuna because when the clocks went back to zero, you know, because it was going 1999, 1990. Oh, crap. We didn't make
what
a 20.
We, gonna do?
We thought the zombie apocalypse would have come before then.
Yeah, they thought all the computers and everything was going to crash. It was.
Yeah, it was exciting. So you guys missed out on that whole apocalypse. That.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Yeah, shame.
No idea. That's insane.
Shame, hey? Born free. Huh?
Yeah. Okay, guys, talk to us about, give us some details on the show. It's showing at Red Hill. We know that much.
Yeah.
But how do people get tickets? When is it showing? How long is it showing?
Okay,
should people come?
Yes, I mean, yeah, of course.
Of course. Obviously. You can't miss this.
Okay, so show's on from the 4th of May to the 11th of May at Red Hill, as Matt said.
No show on the 7th, but there's two shows on the 6th.
Yes, forgot that important
detail.
You're
doing a detail. Double show. Who would make you do that?
Oh.
A matinee.
Oh, I don't even know.
A matinee. Whoa. That should be your new name.
No, but honestly, matinee. The show wouldn't have been anything without you. Like, when you came, you know, you just upped the arts so
much. Do any of the Hyde Park kids want to say something nice about Maddie?
No, please don't.
Oh, yeah, because they haven't been prepped. Sorry.
Cool. Every time Matt comes to school, it's just so awesome. Everyone just has energy for Matt. Aww. And thank you so much, Matt, actually.
Such a pleasure.
Everyone has energy for you. Like,
it was very well read.
People just clap when you walk in the room. Like, I mean,
I honestly couldn't imagine going to school without Matt, like, walking around. Rushing around.
Okay. Let's go back to the ticket details, please. Okay, so web tickets. You say we can get tickets at web tickets?
Yeah, web tickets. You just type in Hairspray, and I'm pretty sure ours is the only one that comes up. And then you just book whatever seats you want for whatever days, or maybe all the days if you want.
Yeah.
And 120 Rand, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It will be like life-changing.
Yeah, I think, guys, it's like there's not even words to describe it.
Okay. Yeah, you can't even get a meal at a restaurant for that. So go do this. Go support the arts. Hyde Park, Red Hill, Caucasian Chalk Circle, amazing stuff happening. Our helicopter parrot wants to say something.
Oh gosh.
Alan, are you there?
I've got to tell you, I was going to go, good morning, Durban. But hey, that's just, I don't know.
It's beautiful.
Guys, I want to just say one thing. Cultivating young talent is the most critical thing that we can do on every single platform in South Africa and in the world. And if you've got the talent and your star quality, and Miss Alexander gave a phenomenal performance, as all of the guys did in the studio, cultivate it and encourage it and make sure that you go to the people that are going to help you do it best. People like Born to Perform, people like yourself, Matty, the teachers, people like you, Nathan, and people best in the business that can help you cultivate the talent. I think that's the lesson of the day, don't you think?
That is the lesson of the day. Thank you for wrapping us up there, Al. This is The Unview. We'll see you next week.
The Unview. The thin, the rich, and the fabulous on cliffcentral.com. Cliffcentral.com.